Fictional Christmas characters are fun. We talk about them. They're in movies. They're in plays. We do all kinds of fun stuff with them. We put up blow-ups of them outside our houses in Christmas, at least some of you do. That's awesome. We also have biblical characters, right? The ones we saw the kids portray here in the pageant. We had our magi. We have our shepherds, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And today we're actually going to talk about two of those characters in particular, and that is going to be the shepherds and Mary. And we're going to talk about the faith that they displayed. So we're in a series through Christmas on God's Christmas list being, what would God want for Christmas if he had a Christmas list? We've talked about family, did obedience. Last week, Julie gave a great message on how God just wants us. This week, we're going to talk about faith. Then we have one more. I'll close it up on Christmas Eve. Please come for that. But today, we will talk about faith. If we define faith, it would say this: complete confidence or trust in someone or something. For us, this is going to be God. That's how we're going to look at it today. Complete trust or confidence in God. Now, faith can be something that we say we have. Christians, a lot of times, I know I do it, will say, yeah, we have faith in God. But it can sometimes, I think, become more of an ideal or this thing we say versus an actual practice, versus something that we do and we live out. So today I want to talk about taking it a step further than just having it be some notion in our head, but being something we strengthen, something that we make it real, right? If we want to make, Mark and I talk about lifting weights, if we want to make our muscles real, we actually strengthen and exercise them. So today with faith, we're going to take that same type of approach and say that faith that is exercised is faith that is realized. So faith that is exercised is faith that is realized. When we exercise, when we do something with it, it becomes more real. So we're going to look at Mary. We're going to see Mary as much more than just the mother of Jesus. That's kind of how she gets talked about, Jesus' mom. Totally true. But Mary showed some incredible faith. We're going to look at that. And then we'll do the same thing with the shepherds. They are not just supporting cast in this awesome story of Christmas. They exercise their faith too. And then we'll talk about how we can exercise our own faith like Mary and like the shepherds. So we're going to start with Mary. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38 to start. It'll be right up here behind me. Also, your Bibles on the table have bookmarks to open right to that passage. So let's look at Mary in Luke 1, 26 through 38, who is faith by trusting. All right, so it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. All right, lots going on here, but basically we have an angel visiting Mary and kind of recaps a few things we know from a couple weeks ago with Joseph. So he says, Mary is a virgin betrothed to Joseph. Quick reminder, this betrothment is more like a legal marriage than like our engagement. All right, she is basically legally committed to Joseph. They just haven't kind of moved in together and become a couple. All right, so the angel visits her. We're getting a lot of visits from angels here around Christmas. And he greets her and he says, "As highly favored, and the Lord is with you." This is more than just a, "Hey, Mary, how are you?" This greeting of "the Lord is with you" a lot of times was meant to say that God has chosen you for a purpose. Probably why Mary, it says, is troubled about this. She's kind of like, okay, what's going on? So the angel keeps going and says, "You're going to have this son, and here's what you're going to name him. You're going to name him Jesus. This is kind of what he's going to do." Again, this parallels what the angel said to Joseph we talked about a few weeks ago. He's kind of really explaining the gravity of the birth and the gravity of this baby of Jesus, how important this is going to be. So Mary gives a, kind of response. She's like, I'm a virgin. I can't have a baby. Like, what is the deal? So the angel says, this is a total divine activity. Straight from God, this child will be the Son of God. And I got to believe Mary's still skeptical at this point. Like, what? Like, how is it? So the angel gives her a little something to have confidence in. He mentions Elizabeth, her family member. Elizabeth wasn't supposed to be able to have kids, but now she's going to have John. And this happens, this story happens just before what we just read in Luke's gospel. So this would encourage Mary. Mary's kind of like, wow, Elizabeth wasn't supposed to conceive or have a baby. She's going to, because what God says can happen. So now it's going to happen to me. It reminds Mary that God can do anything. Then we hit verse 38, our big verse of this, when Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary totally submits to God here. This is complete and utter obedience to God, saying, God, I'm your servant. I trust what you want me to do. I have faith in what you want me to do. I will listen to what you want me to do. She gives God total trust. Over the summer, we'd go to the pool a few times, and my daughter, Joella, who's now three, decided she liked jumping in from the side of the pool on in. Well, here's the thing. Joella can't swim yet, so somebody has to catch her, either me or Stacy usually. Joella has to have total trust that we're going to catch her, complete faith. Right now, she's got her floaties or swimmy or whatever on to help her, but when she jumps off that ledge, she has to completely sell out to the fact that mom or dad or whoever is going to catch her. That's what Mary is doing with God. She has complete trust and faith in that God is going to be there and see her through this. She's at a big risk. She's at a big risk. She doesn't have any type of floaty or life jacket like Joella had. She is just at big risk. Remember, if she's found to be pregnant before the marriage is final, that's divorce, public shame, public ridicule. This is bad. She is at a risk. But she put her faith in God alone. She didn't put it elsewhere. She didn't try to put together a backup plan to be like, I got to hedge my bet. If this thing with God doesn't pan out, I'm going to come over here and do something. This will save it. She doesn't do that. She gives her trust completely to God. She exercised her faith. She worked her faith by putting trust in God and God alone. That's the first part. Mary exercises her faith by trusting in God. So that's Mary. Now we're going to look at the shepherds. This is going to be Luke 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 20. It's just the next page, I believe, of your Bibles if you're following along. So Luke 2, 8 through 20, the story of the shepherds. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. All right, the shepherds, this is kind of the story, a lot of what we got acted out in our pageant, right? We had the shepherds come out and the angels, and they were afraid. So here's what we have. We have the shepherds. The shepherds are low, low status in this biblical society. This is not a desirable job. They were thought of as unclean. Basically, they didn't matter to a lot of people. So an angel appears to them and tells them, "Hey, I'm going to show up. Don't be afraid." This is like angel formula in the Bible. The angel shows up, everybody's afraid. He's like, no, it's okay. Everything's fine. So he tells them this. He says, everything's okay, and there's good news that's coming for all people. A Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. To you, to the shepherds, to the people that probably haven't had a lot of good things happen to them, to the people other people look down on, they're out there tending their flocks at night. I can't imagine it's a great job. And somebody's saying, this awesome thing is going to happen to you. You matter now. It's foreshadowing that God's kingdom and Jesus' ministry as he gets older is going to be totally different from the norm. It's going to be upside down from what they've experienced. The poor and the downtrodden will matter. So this sounds great, right? The shepherd's got to be like, wow, this sounds all right. And now more angels show up, a whole heavenly host, as it says, and it's glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Even the angels are worshiping God and giving him glory. This is the appropriate response to what's happening. So we have this picture now. Angels from heaven coming down to earth. We're bringing heaven and earth together. We have God up in all his glory, and he's bringing peace down here on earth to all people, to all of them. And they do this. This angel comes out here on the farm, not some fancy place, not a great-looking temple or a cool-looking building, right out to where the shepherds are, where it's dirty, maybe cold, and whatever, on the farm. He's coming to earth for all. So then the angels leave, and the shepherds are kind of like, all right, we should probably go see what's going on here, because they recognize, okay, these angels from the Lord, we got this great message, we're going to trust it. So they respond in faith. They exercise their faith by going to see what happened. And they see the baby, they see Mary and Joseph, and it's incredible. And then they don't keep it to themselves. They respond in faith by talking about it. They learn something. They see something so awesome that they go away and talk about it. They spread the word. Some people refer to the shepherds as our very first evangelists. But the fact that they went and talked about it, and it says all were amazed. Everybody they told were amazed. Now, we don't know that they all believed right away, but they were at least intrigued by it. This was new. This was something kind of awesome. So they're intrigued. They're taken aback by the news the shepherds are sharing. And the shepherds go back praising God for everything they saw and heard. Praise. They're telling God how awesome he is for what he's done, what he's doing, and who he is. So these lowly, downtrodden shepherds are told, hey, this awesome thing is going to happen to you. And have this faith in God, and they exercise it by, one, telling other people about it, and two, giving praise and glory to God. They recognized and believed the Messiah was coming for them. That's why they're significant, not just part of the story, but they kind of represent this lower status in society that Jesus is coming for. He would save them. They're part of this. Now, do they know for sure this is all going to happen? No, this is new. But they had faith, and they exercised it by sharing God and praising God. They shared God to others first. They didn't worry what the other people were going to say. It doesn't say, oh, they were nervous about how people respond. It was just so awesome that they shared it. They were overwhelmed by it. And then they talked to God about God. Now, maybe this seems weird, right? Why would I talk to somebody about them? But that's what praise is. It's telling God how awesome he is. They gave him that praise, that glory, and the credit. They're a blueprint of exercising our faith by sharing and praising God for what he is and what he's going to do. They made their faith real by sharing it, by praising God for it. So we have Mary exercises her faith by trusting. The shepherds exercising their faith by talking about it to others and to God. How do we do this? How do we exercise our faith like the shepherds and like Mary? Let's talk about Mary first. Mary demonstrated complete trust in God. That is, trust in God first, with everything, and in everything. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. It's very possible you've heard this verse before. And unfortunately, it's kind of become, I think, a little bit of a cliche verse that just gets thrown around, which to me is sad because it's so powerful and an incredible example of exercising our faith when we really do it. All right, so exercising our faith by giving complete trust. I think there's two difficulties, or two stumbling blocks maybe, that we run into when trying to exercise our faith in this way. We're going to do a little object lesson. I love these. To do this, if you've seen all this sitting up here, hopefully you've been wondering, what is he going to do with all of that this morning? Now we're going to find out. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to make Jeff's Christmas punch, because it's Christmas time. Let's make punch, right? Why not? So we're going to talk about this kind of like it's us and God. So we have to trust God with all the ingredients, with all of these parts of our life, right? We have to trust him with everyone. We got some orange juice. Let's say that's our family. We trust God with things in our family. The pomegranate juice, maybe that's our personal health and wellness. We got some fruit, right? That's our that's work, all right? Maybe we'll have something else in there too. Then we got the cranberry juice. This is our maybe our personal finances, but I'm going to keep that one to myself. I don't want to totally trust God with that one. I want control of that. We do this sometimes. We hold something back. We can't fully trust God if we don't trust him with all parts of our life. Why do we do this? Control. I know it's why I do it. I want to be in control. I think I'm a pretty smart guy, so I think I can figure things out. So I want control of it. Why else do we do it? Maybe we want something to go in a very certain direction, and if we give it up, it might not go that way. It might take a turn that we don't like. Or maybe we've trusted another time with one of these things, and it didn't go the way we wanted it to go. So we're going to hold it back. We can't fully realize our faith and make it super real if we hold something back. So we have to give God all these ingredients. So we're going to put them all in. All right. There we go. That looks good. Got some orange juice, pomegranate, and cranberry. So we're going to give it all to God. We're going to put it all in. Let's give it a little spin here. All right. That looks nice. So we give it all to God. Then it's all there. We've given it to him. First part. Now we can become sensitive to when God wants to do something with one of these areas of our lives. All right? So let's take the finance one, right? So he's going to give us some direct things to do, and we have to do them. So he's going to say, all right, let's review your old budget. So here's our glass. That's reviewing our old budget with some ice, because you don't want punch without ice. Cool, my stand went down. All right? Now, got to say, okay, review your old budget. Now, let's make a new one. So we're going to pour on in here. All right, is there a next stage? Oh, yeah. Look at that. Get some of the fruit, pour it on in. Okay, so you're reviewing. All right, how about you now? He's looking at it. You're making a new one. You need to cut one of those subscription services a month that you have. Let's get rid of Apple TV Plus. All right, so that's your garnish because, you know, can't have a good drink without a garnish there. Big fan of garnish, right? So he does it all. He takes all of this, and he does something with it. We trust him with all of it, and then he's got something. He says, here's what I want you to do. And then maybe he says with that finances, I want you to give a little more. So maybe we're going to give our drink away, something like that. But the point of this is we have to give God everything, all the parts of it. We can't make a good punch without all the ingredients. Then the actual making of the punch means we have to do something. Sometimes we can get caught up in the fact that, all right, I gave it all to God. I'm done. I'm out. I don't have to do anything. Now, could God have just taken all of these and got them into the pitcher and stirred it up? Yeah, he probably could have. But more times than not, he's going to make us do some things with it. He's going to say, you gave it to me. Now follow my steps. Put the ice in the glass. Pour it in. Garnish it. Give it. God still wants us to act, but that's part of trusting him, is giving him everything and then trusting the way he has us go about it. And when we exercise our faith in this way and we actually do something with it, it's so much more real. So that's having the faith like Mary. Now, what about the shepherds? How do we have faith like the shepherds? First thing, remember that Jesus came for us. We're not praising or having faith in a God that saved only someone else. It is personal. It's impactful for us. So talk about what you've seen and heard. Talk to others about it, big or small. Talk about what God has done in your life. Maybe you're giving God credit for something awesome that happened, or why you made a decision, or why you did something, or why you didn't do something. But it's talking to others about God. We exercise our faith when we talk about him. When we put it out there really across ourselves to other people, it grows and strengthens and becomes more real. You can even talk about what you've seen God do in other people's lives. How powerful can that be? Giving God credit for what he did in somebody else's life. So talk about it. And then talk to God. Give God the praise for who he is. give God praise for who he is. Praise, warm approval or adoration of someone or something. You say, well, okay, it's cool. We do that Sunday mornings. We sing praise to God. Do it outside of Sunday morning. It's not just something we do when we sing here or at a time when we're here in small groups or anything like that. God knows how awesome he is. He doesn't need us to bump up his confidence or anything like that, but he still wants us to. We still should, because it's a response to all the great things he's done in our lives and how powerful he is. So say it, pray it, sing it, write it, paint it, draw it, just do it. Give God praise. It can happen in a variety of ways. Share and talk about your experience and how awesome it was, how taken aback you were by it. But a week and a half ago, we had one of those weeks at our house where it was like, we need a total dumpster fire of a week. So I think it was a Monday. Jeremiah got the flu. Then Joella got the flu. And I went out to pick some stuff up for him. And I come home, and I walk in the door, and Stacy just looks at me. I'm like, oh, what else? She's like, we all have lice. We all have head lice. And I'm like, cool. That sounds great. Why not? Why wouldn't we have head lice right now when the kids are sick and we're trying to deal with them? So if you know anything about lice, you got to treat it, right? So we go and we get this product that's like a mousse in your hair, and we're doing this to me and Jeremiah. Now, we have short, nice hair like this. It works pretty easily. If you know my wife and my daughter, much longer hair. She looks at me and she's like, you do not want to do this to my hair. And I'm like, no, I really don't. So I love you, but this is not going to go well. So they find this place in Sun Prairie, actually. There's a lice clinic that does this stuff. So Stacy takes she and Joella out there on one of the days, I think it was a Wednesday, to go get this done, and she comes back, and now she's going to share her experience with me. So I ask her, I'm like, how'd it go? She says, well, the lady, Patty, was phenomenal. She was awesome. She talked to Joella, chatted her up. Joella was great. She's talking to me. We're there for a while, talking about life and what's going on and who we are, and this is great. So then it comes time to pay. And Stacy goes over, and she tells Joella, okay, we got to pay before we can leave. And the woman says, oh, yeah, you know, we oftentimes ask for, you know, people to give donations and extra to the clinic. And Stacy's thinking, well, man, I would love to give something. This woman was awesome. She was great for me and my daughter. Just don't know if we have anything extra because it's already expensive. Like, it's a pro clinic, pro price tag. And the woman says, today that donation is being used on you. So I'm like, I looked at her, I'm like, wait a minute. You didn't pay a dime for this? She's like, no, we didn't pay anything. This doesn't happen to us. Like, we hear about it, and it's great, but I don't think anything like this has ever happened to us. It was this incredible thing that happened, and then Stacy shared it with me. She told other people about it. That's what we're supposed to do with God. Something awesome happened, something small, big, or anything. Share it with others, and then tell God how great he is, too. Share that experience. Give the credit where it's due. God isn't full of himself or puffed up by the compliments. We can't over-compliment God. We can't do it. We're not going to overpraise him either. He's worthy of it. So I think this is the way we need to be like the shepherds, not so much in occupation and necessarily have the lowest of the low jobs or anything like that, but in how their adoration is. So the shepherds, not in occupation, but adoration. Wherever society or culture has you, just give God the praise and glory. That's what matters. So exercise your faith by talking about what God has done. Talk about that to other people and then give him the praise. Make your faith real by talking about it. So as we approach the actual day of Christmas, we're in this God's Christmas List series. Christmas is coming up next Sunday. I want to challenge you to keep your faith strong, to put your faith in that baby that was born to save us. Don't put that faith in the back of your mind as we get ready for everything else that's going on. I love all the parties, hanging out, the presents, it's all great, but keep this faith in the front of your mind. Don't let it sink to the back and become an ideal or just something we say. Make it real. Do something with it. Trust God like Mary did. Trust God with everything. Don't hold any piece of your life back. Give it to him. And then listen for what he wants to do with it in any certain area. It might be big, might be something pretty small, but listen to what he wants you to do and give him that faith and that you'll trust him to do it. And then praise God like the shepherds. Talk about what God has done and what he's doing. Talk to other people about it. We're going to be around a lot of people for the holidays. Talk about it a little bit. family, friends, maybe around the punch bowl at the Christmas party, but talk about it. Then give God praise for who he is and what he's done. Make praise something we do outside of Sunday morning when we sing. Do it in your own way, but do it. Give God that praise. So exercise the faith that we say we have and make it one of the most real gifts we have this Christmas. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. Guys, thank you for the kids that did their pageant this morning, God, and kind of shared this story in their way. And God, that we were able to dig into it a little bit and just see the faith of the shepherds and the faith of Mary. So God, I pray that all of us would have that kind of faith. God, that we would all exercise it in the way that Mary and the shepherds did. So I pray that as we come up to the actual Christmas day, God, that our faith would be at the front of our minds, God, and that we remember to exercise it every day. Pray this in your name. Amen.